My name is Jason Doldane, and I'm the host of Reaching Roots, a podcast with a goal to make life easier for parents and families so they can reach further. We're talking to people who inspire us with their journey, tell us about the problems they are solving, and provide us insight that helps us and our children learn and grow. Kids might start to feel different throughout childhood, but they don't know what these feelings mean. Kids might be gay, lesbian, bi, trans, or queer, but are not sure. How do kids figure out what to do with these feelings and even what they are? Coming out is a gradual process to understand, accept, and share one's gender and sexual identity. This is scary and confusing. Overwhelming emotions bring dark clouds over this journey, creating serious mental health risks caused from feelings of isolation, fear, anxiety, and depression. Societal discrimination, stigma, and harassment further complicate this, forcing children to suppress their feelings to fit in or avoid angering parents and family. Today, in some places in the world, we are more accepting, and young people are coming out at earlier ages than they did in the past. As such, parents have an important role to support their children through the process of coming out. Mercedes Killian is an award-winning author, editor, and social media marketer based out of Toronto. Since coming out in her early 20s, Mercedes' writing has been specifically informed by her queer identity and how that intersects with taboo topics like mental illness. Her work has been published widely in periodicals such as Shameless Magazine, The Innes Review, Half a Grapefruit Magazine, and The UC Review. As a poet, she revised her first book, Tulips, in 2018, and after that, published her second collection of poetry, Using a Spoon as a Knife. She has been invited by Toronto poet laureate A.F. Moritz to tell her story in several guest lectures at the University of Toronto. In this episode, we learn from Mercedes about her struggles with coming out and mental illness, with a view to informing parents on how they can support their children to a healthier and happier LGBTQ life. Welcome, Mercedes.
Thank you.
So Mercedes, tell me just a little bit about kind of your journey and, you know, with your childhood and your identity and some of your writing.
Yeah. So in terms of coming out, I came out sort of a bit later in life, like when I was kind of like 21. So it definitely took a while. It was kind of something I always sort of knew, but kind of like pushed down and didn't really want to confront. And then in terms of my writing, it's centered a lot around like mental health and advocacy, mental illness. And then after coming out, like combining that also with like my queer identity and things like that.
Got it. So have you always been writing, or was it something that was inspired by you coming out?
Yeah, I started writing professionally when I was like 13. That's when I got like my first award in like publication. So I've been doing it like forever. And it was definitely like a coping mechanism with like the mental health stuff. It was something that helped me a lot, like process my feelings. And yeah, that's kind of how it started. And I just always loved literature. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So tell me about when you feel like you actually thought something was different.
Yeah, I guess for me, I sort of knew like very early, like I feel like as early as like 4 or 5 years old, like I didn't really know what it was, but like I knew that like, you know, if I watched a movie, like a Disney movie, like I was like interested in like the princess, they were like would have like romantic feelings, but I didn't really understand what it was. And I didn't really like, you know, I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't really like get what like labels were and things like that. So I definitely like knew that, but then growing up, I was also raised Catholic. So I went to Catholic elementary school. I went to Catholic high school. So there's definitely a little bit of like, as I was growing up, realizing like, okay, maybe this isn't something I want to share right now. Like maybe this isn't something I feel like super comfortable talking about, like as a kid.
Yeah. You know, when you're 4 years old, I mean,
it's difficult to really even figure out what romance is, right? And
yeah, exactly.
You've got this feeling that's kind of different, and then you've got various other feelings that you're sort of going through and experiencing over the next several years, I'm sure, in your early childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you sort of like figure out what this feeling really is? And, you know, just talk to us a little bit about sort of, you know, you developing a clearer picture of what those feelings were and what that journey was like.
Yeah, it took a really long time. It was something, like I mentioned, like I knew that I was kind of like attracted to women growing up. I didn't really know what the name was for that. I didn't really know how I felt about it. I didn't really, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't really know what was going on, sort of. And like, definitely, and I've heard this from other queer people, kids kind of pick up on it. Like, even if you're not out and proud or whatever, like I definitely had kids like call me a lesbian or like things like that, like as like sort of an insult, like growing up, even though like I hadn't said anything or like done anything to really like, I thought, indicate that. Right. But like, I guess, you know, kids pick up on those sorts of things. And so hearing that and you hear it as like an insult, then you realize like, okay, that's maybe something I don't want to be, or like, I don't want to tell people about.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, kids, especially as you're kind of going through middle school and high school, you know, and we all experience sort of a certain amount of bullying and things like that. I mean, kids may just be throwing around these terms without really knowing even what they truly mean.
For sure. Yeah.
So let's just talk terminology for a second. So what do you associate with? And maybe you can just help kind of, you know, help us understand sort of the LGBTQ terminology, and you know, what are some of the sort of right ways to be talking to people about these things?
Yeah, I think number one is just use whatever term the person identifies with, whether that's gender identity or their sexuality. You know, if they say to you like, I'm bisexual, then you know, you would refer to them as bisexual or bi. If, you know, for gender identity, they say like, I identify as they, them, then just use whatever terms that that person is telling you and that they feel comfortable with. So when I came out, like I came out as bisexual, that was the term that I used. And then even after coming out, I sort of wrestled with like, I don't know exactly what, maybe I'm a lesbian, maybe I'm bi, I don't. And then later I kind of started more using the term queer because it's a little more open-ended. Okay. So it's kind of like, okay, definitely not straight, but there's no like, it's not as like maybe prescriptive, but I use both like bi or queer. Yeah.
And is queer sort of like an umbrella term for kind of like not straight?
Yeah, it kind of means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I can't really speak for everyone, but yeah, for me, it, you know, it obviously identifies you with the LGBT community, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, maybe it's not as specific. Because with bisexual, some people think like, oh, you're bisexual, it's 50% attraction to men, 50% attraction to women, but maybe it could be different numbers, right?
Sure. Yeah. And I guess it just depends on the time and the person, so many other elements that go into it.
Yeah, exactly. And like your label can change as you like grow up and you learn more about yourself, and you know, you might change different labels and things like that. Yeah.
So tell us about, you know, obviously you had these confusing feelings where you had to sort of wrestle with them yourself. But then how did you sort of navigate that with your family and friends? And give us a little bit of a perspective on some of that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a unique situation because I was actually raised, one of my uncles is openly gay and has a husband. So I was always kind of raised to think that being gay was okay. Like it was never something that my parents were like, you know, saying like it's a bad thing or anything like that. Like my mom would even say to us, you know, if you're gay, like that's okay with me, like as we were kids growing up. So like I never really thought like, oh, this is like a bad thing that isn't okay to be, but on some level I didn't think it was okay for me to come out, whereas I would be accepting of other people if they were LGBT plus, but for me, it took a very long time to actually accept and own and like kind of, you know, be open with people about.
Take us back to like the first conversation you had with a friend or family about this?
Yeah, it was one of my close friends at the time. I came out to my friends first, and they were really lovely about it. I think the thing is, when I came out, it wasn't like a shock to people. Like, I was pretty open about, like, oh, that girl's cute or that girl's pretty. Like, I was never like, you know, I was pretty open about like being attracted to women. I never really like named it or like dated women or anything like that. So when I did come out, it was kind of like, yeah, I know. Like, I'm happy that you're, you know, able to voice this, but like, yeah, obviously I'm aware. So yeah, my friends were really, really lovely about it. They were super accepting. Then I came out to my younger brother first, and he was super accepting as well. And then I came out to my parents, which was a little difficult. There was a couple things, yeah, we can talk about, but I mean, today where we are now, like, everything's good, but it was a little challenging at parts with my parents. Yeah. So the thing is, like I mentioned, my mom was very much like, being gay is cool, like, fine, like, I'm cool with that, like, it's no big deal. Like, so in my mind going into it, I thought, this is going to be like a piece of cake. Like, this is going to be, I tell them and they're like, whatever, like, good for you, I love you, like, whatever. But because I used the language of I'm bisexual, it was something for my mom that she didn't know or understand. So for her, it was kind of like, no, you're either gay or you're straight. Like, it's one or the other. Like, you're just, you know, you're either a lesbian who hasn't figured it out yet, or, you know, maybe you are actually straight. So that was kind of the hard piece, because it actually took many months for like my mom to finally kind of, for her, it to like click in for her a little bit.
And what did you go through when, you know, through that journey? I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Yeah, it was, I think it was difficult because I expected it to be so simple. Like, I thought like, oh, no big deal. So I didn't really have any like anxiety or worries. So it just kind of like caught me off guard. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. But the thing is, my mom is from a different country. She was born in El Salvador. She's a refugee. Like, she wasn't raised in a culture where bisexual was a thing. Like, they accepted, like, they knew what gay people were, they accepted gay people, but it wasn't like, bisexual wasn't a term that she had ever really encountered in her life. So I don't really blame her for that. It was just difficult.
Some of her feelings, do you think it was it anger? Was it just, you know, not willing to accept it? Like, what were some of those emotions that she might have been going through?
I think she like genuinely just didn't believe it was a thing. She just thought, oh no, she's actually a lesbian, but she doesn't want to tell me, kind of thing. Like, yeah, that was her view.
Got it. So what have been some of your challenges, Mercedes, through this journey? I mean, you know, in my intro, I talked about there's stigma, there's discrimination, there's harassment. I mean,
yeah.
Have you experienced any of these things, and maybe kind of take us to kind of an occasion or two that maybe you've witnessed some of this?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, like growing up, like people referring to me as like a lesbian as kind of an insult. I feel like those sorts of things definitely stuck with me as like, okay, this is something like that's not okay, and that like I'm not supposed to be or whatever. And then even the thing is, even as a bisexual person, you do encounter stigma in the LGBT plus community. So like if I've gone to like certain like pride events or like LGBT plus events, people will say to me, because I'm like a femme presenting woman, which means like, you know, I kind of, you know, fall into stereotypical things of like femininity, like I like makeup, I wear dresses, like things like that. People would say to me like, oh, are you like an ally or something? Like, are you just here as an ally? And I'm like, no, like I'm queer. Like I'm here as like a member of the community. So it's kind of, especially as like a femme woman, people assume that someone who's queer maybe, you know, dresses a little more masculine or has shorter hair or things like that. So there's that as well with the bisexual thing. Yeah.
Interesting. So you started writing about some of these things as a coping mechanism. I mean, what were you coping with?
Yeah, so I also deal with mental illness, like pretty severe since I was super young. And yeah, like these two things, I feel like I can't really talk about one without the other, because I had sort of the same journey with my mental health, where like I spent most of my life trying to avoid talking about it, and I didn't want to admit that I had it, and I didn't want anyone to know. And I just, if someone suggested to me that I might have mental illness, I was like, no, absolutely not. That's not me. And then eventually, around 17 or 18, finally started accepting treatment and, like, you know, getting better and learning about it and then speaking about it and being more open, like, with that.
And are these related, Mercedes? Like, is it related to sort of your gender identity and your sexual identity? And are you tying sort of the mental illness to that, or do you feel like there were other reasons?
I wouldn't like say like one caused the other or anything like that, but I think it's definitely like a genetic component for me. Like, it's, you know, runs on both my families for, in terms of mental illness. And then like some also dealing like with some trauma and stuff growing up. So there was like a lot of different factors, but I just kind of tie them together because they're just intersecting parts of my identity that I wasn't okay with. And right. That I didn't want to talk about. Whereas now with my work and like my mental health advocacy, I just talk to anyone who will talk to me about it. Like, I'm very open about it. So those things are kind of parallel to me when I look at them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So if we go to kind of a parent's perspective, I mean, you know, this is a hard thing for parents to deal with too, right? Probably most parents, you know, grew up in a world where people did not openly sort of come out, at least certainly not as they do today, right? And maybe, as you talked about, you know, depending upon different cultures and different geographies, you know, maybe it was accepting. Yeah. Accepting. So what would your advice be for parents who may suspect that their children, you know, are having these different feelings?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is like, you want to make sure that your kids feel comfortable talking to you, like really about anything. You know, make sure like lines of communication are open, and that, you know, just that they feel comfortable talking to you really about anything in their life. And then, you know, if they do bring up something and maybe it's not something you're familiar with, like maybe you don't really know much about what bisexuality is, or maybe you don't know what like non-binary identities are or things like that, like then take the step of educating yourself. And if there's something you don't understand, then really, really take the time to educate yourself, you know, in order to show up and be there for them.
Right, right. And would you say, you know, like, are we, you're in Toronto, but you know, are we in a world, or do we live in sort of a continent, right? If I just take kind of North America as in Canada, which is where most of our audience is. I mean, is it fairly easy to sort of, you know, fit in now within society, or you still think there are challenges?
Yeah, I think we've made huge strides. And I mean, like, I have to acknowledge, I wouldn't be able to be out and proud and like, you know, without like the people who came before me, the activists, especially like Black activists, Black trans activists, like who really pioneered like the gay rights movement. So like now I'm in a place, like I live in a world where, yeah, it is, I guess, relatively easy to be open about these things. But you know, there are still, you do get comments, or you get kind of dirty looks if you're walking down the street, like holding your girlfriend's hand or something, you know, there's always going to be challenges. But yeah, there's been huge, huge strides for sure.
Okay. You mentioned earlier to me that, you know, bisexual people tend to have a higher risk of mental illness, and it's just more difficult.
Yeah.
More difficult for them.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Why is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like there's many reasons. There's a lot of different reasons. I think one of them is that you kind of get that double stigma where you don't really fit in with straight communities, but then maybe parts of the LGBT plus community also don't accept you. So I think that's kind of one of the things that can be challenging. Cause I know that like when I came out, I thought, oh, you know, I'll go to some pride events. I'll, you know, go to some LGBT plus events and I'll be part of like the queer community and it'll be like this like great thing. And I didn't really realize that like biphobia was such an issue in and out of the queer community. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. You know, we wouldn't even know it, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
You'll have to sort of figure out what's right and what's wrong in terms of just being able to, you know, understand the terminology and be and sort of like you know, communicate right with the LGBTQ community. You know, I think for the LGBT community, for those people that are not really sort of that close to it, we talked about the terminology earlier on. But you know, are there things that we could be doing unknowingly that might offend the community? Could you talk a little bit about what that could be? Or, you know, are there sort of some sort of general guidelines that we should be keeping in mind?
I guess I would just say like, don't assume, like, don't like when you meet someone, you know, don't assume that they're straight, you know, and also don't assume that maybe their pronouns match what you think they are. Like, if you think they're presenting more as like, a woman, you know, maybe take a second and say, you know, I don't know those person's pronouns. And, you know, and also you don't know their sexuality. So I would say just keep an open mind. If you are like, maybe not sure about something, like ask in a polite way, you know? And yeah, like just, yeah, just maybe just try not to assume things. Like straightness isn't the norm. Yeah.
What's that polite way? Like, how would you like to be asked?
Yeah. I guess like, let's say like, if you're having a conversation with someone and they mention like, oh, my partner, or something like that, I guess you can ask like, you could ask like, oh, is that like a man? Is it a woman? Is it, you know, someone maybe who doesn't identify as either? You could ask something like that. And then with pronouns, I can't speak for like trans or non-binary people, but I would say like if you're not sure, you can politely ask like, is it okay if I ask you your pronouns? Like, do you mind if I ask you your pronouns? A lot of people, like, you know, even if you look on Instagram now, they add like a pronoun feature and things like that. So like there are, you know, some ways that people might indicate their pronouns more easily these days as well.
Got it. And can you just tell us what the pronouns mean?
Oh, there are a lot. Yeah, like there's he, him, there's she, her, there's they, them. There's honestly a lot of other ones. I think like there's a lot of different pronouns. Yeah.
And is there a pretty clear association then between sort of LGBTQ?
Yeah, and the thing is there's more than LGBTQ. There's LGBTQ like Q, like 2SIA, like there's a lot of different letters.
It's kind of confusing, right? Like it would be difficult for a person who's not really in that world to have a clear view of that, or at least it might take some time, right?
Yeah, it can definitely take time and to understand other people's identities and stuff.
Right. So what would you kind of like, do you have a suggestion to someone who, you know, in terms of how they could easily understand some of this?
I would say try to do your own research. I would say like, you know, Google is helpful. You could just Google like, what do the letters mean in the LGBT, you know, like plus acronym. You could do some research on that. You could do some research on what are pronouns, like what are the different pronouns, how do I talk to someone about their pronouns, and things like that. I would say research is good.
It seems like there's a lot more involved there than meets the eye.
For sure.
So Mercedes, tell me how this has, you know, you coming out, sort of writing about these, now talking about these things, how has all this changed?
Yeah, I think coming out specifically helps me definitely. I don't know how else to put this, but like hate myself less, and just, yeah, just not, yeah, just have a little more compassion and acceptance towards like who I am as a person. When I came out, I was a smoker for many years, and I kind of just quit smoking naturally. Like after I came out of the closet, it was not something I deliberately did, but I just sort of noticed like, oh, hey, maybe I'm like feeling a little better these days. Like maybe I don't need to do some of these like unhealthy coping mechanisms and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And you know, it kind of goes back with some of the suppression of feelings, right? Once you start talking about it,
yeah,
you actually don't realize that there's actually a lot more people that actually support you through this.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So Mercedes, you're not a parent. I asked this question to a lot of my parents that actually are on this podcast, but I'll ask it to you in a different way, which is, you know, is there one feeling that you're feeling that you feel that you would rather not?
Oh, in terms of,
you know, you
as a child,
you being bisexual.
I'm not sure about that one. A feeling that I wish I wasn't feeling. Yeah, I guess just that little bit of resistance, like I mentioned, from the rest of the queer community or from people outside of the queer community, of, you know, bisexuality still not being always accepted as totally valid. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like the thing where, you know, you're still trying to fit in, whether it be with the queer community or the straight community.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, all of my friends are like straight, so I don't really know like a lot of other queer people, like, and things like that. So it's definitely still something I'm like, you know, hopefully post COVID, you know, can go to like some more events and stuff.
Yeah. Great. Sounds cool. Thank you so much, Mercedes. Do you want to tell the audience just where to get a hold of you? I think you've got a website.
Yeah. You can just find me at mercedescolleen.com. That has all the stuff for my freelancing and my writing and things like that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Mercedes. It was great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We would really appreciate if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us any feedback to reachingroots@wishslate.com. Also, download the Wish Slate app to help organize wish lists for your family and change the way you gift. You can download this from www.wishslate.com/download.